Welcome to the Soft Verbal Podcast, presented by Dead Soxy, hosted by RebelGrove.com publisher Neil McCready, and featuring RebelGrove.com and Rivals.com recruiting analyst Russell Johnson.
Awesome!
The Soft Verbal Podcast is your number one podcast dedicated to Ole Miss football and basketball recruiting.
Caution, you are about to enter the no-spin zone.
Featuring guests from throughout the Rivals.com network, the Soft Verbal Podcast tells you what is happening and what's going to happen on the recruiting trail, and it does it in style. Just like Dead Soxy.
I'm better looking than you.
Visit DeadSoxy.com and enter Rebel Grove at checkout for 25% off your order of the best dress socks you'll ever wear. Now here's your host, Neil McCready.
Welcome into the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Dead Soxy. I'm your host, Neil McCready. Russell Johnson's here as well today. Probably going to be a little bit of a shorter show. We have a lot going on, a lot of balls in the air today. So we're going to get to the big things, the highlights, get you caught up on Ole Miss recruiting as we get to the, what about T-minus 11 days or so until the early signing period. I guess 13 days as we record this. So Russell's here. We'll get to Russell in just a minute. First, let me tell you about Dead Soxy. Socks make a great stocking stuffer, and Dead Soxy is your stocking stuffer solution. Tis the season of giving. And Dead Soxy wants to give back to the Rebel Grove community for all of its support. So for a limited time, they've increased the promo code from 25% off to 35% off. And the deal is live right now on the site. This is a limited time offer, only available to Rebel Grove subscribers and podcast listeners. This ad will not last, so take advantage of this holiday offering before it goes. The code may not apply to items already on sale, but it's available for all remaining products, including the limited edition Rebel socks. Whether you're giving your family, your friends, or yourself a gift, give yourself something they'll look forward to over and over again. Everyone needs to experience the difference a quality sock makes. So go to deadsoxy.com, enter the code REBELGROVE at checkout to receive 35% off and free shipping on orders over $25. Coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio, Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. There's no hassle. There's no haggle. It's right to the bottom line. You get your quote, and it's really up to you at that point. You can shop it around, or you can end up doing what I've done and what so many others have done, what my boy Chase Parham should do, and that is let the people at Clark Ford take the hassle out of your everyday car buying experience. 662-257-1900. Tell Corey you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. Mention any of our family of podcasts, and you'll save $500. Russell, how are you?
Doing good, doing good. I feel like we should kind of give the disclaimer that you guys have been putting on the Oxford Exxon podcast on this one. You know, with there's so many moving parts, commitments who could or could not come, flips who may or may not happen, even just between now and the time this gets published, as well as the, obviously the elephant in the room, the defensive coordinator who still is yet to be named.
Yeah, and he might or might not be an elephant. So there you go. All right, let's start with just some names. We're gonna, like I said, this is not going to be a super long podcast. We've just got so much going on today, and I hate to do a 1.5 hour podcast that is completely obsolete. In less than 24 hours, it seems pointless. So let's get right to the bread and butter here. We'll start with N'Kobe Dean. I know from talking to people that Ole Miss feels better than maybe it has at any point on N'Kobe Dean. So as we sit here, we're recording on December the 6th, I think. 13 days, 12 days to go or so. What's the latest on N'Kobe Dean? What's kind of the feeling there?
I would definitely agree with what you said about, you know, Ole Miss feeling better now than they ever have, and it kind of, they feel like waiting for him to visit, unlike what Alabama did, what Auburn did, what Georgia did. Waiting for him to visit until after his high school season seems to have been a lot more beneficial than it would have been if he would have came in on an official or even, you know, the kind of setup that he had this past weekend in Oxford after the state championship. If they were done that earlier, I don't think they would be able to have as much momentum as they do right now. But the thing with Dean is he's still going to LSU this weekend, and then it's Mississippi-Alabama week in time to really sit down and think about what's going to happen.
I skipped over something I was going to touch on, but he's included in it. The new Rivals 100 and the new Rivals 250 came out. I know he was a big jumper. He got his fifth star. I guess your thoughts on the guys that moved in the 100 and the 250. Where do you think Rivals got it right? Are there any? Do you have any gripes with where maybe they didn't get it right?
I think it was good to see N'Kobe get his fifth star. He had had his fifth star in other places for quite some time, and even with his size limit and differences between him and your prototypical inside linebacker, he possesses the abilities that most dominant linebackers at the next level do have. Other than that, Jaron Ealy moved back up into the top 100. He was in the 250 before. Ealy obviously also was listed on MLB Pipeline as the number 7 high school prospect in the country for the 2019 MLB draft. So I wouldn't look too much into that. I look at it more as I guess you could still call it a lottery ticket, but at this point, I don't even know if a lottery ticket is accurate odds.
I know for a while there, you thought Ealy was about to flip to Clemson.
Yeah, I still think that's going to happen.
Okay. All right, Charles Cross jumped as well.
Yes,
I think into the Rivals 100.
Yeah, he was just a 3-star. I think a 5.6 or 5.7, which is a middle of the road 3-star is a 5.6. The 5.7 is the one right on the cusp of 4-star status. Cross really impressed Rivals.com's Chad Simmons when he went and saw him in person earlier this year, and I would say that jump's justifiable. Cross officially visited USC. And he's also been to Ole Miss now this past weekend. And they gained quite a bit of momentum to the point to where some thought he was going to end his recruitment either right after the visit or before he heads to Mississippi State this weekend. And as of Thursday morning, that's yet to happen. So it looks like he is going to take that Mississippi State visit, and that's when things can get interesting.
Okay, Maurice Hampton's a name that I assumed for the longest time he was going to be at LSU or whatnot. I know his name has popped up some in Ole Miss circles. Where does Ole Miss stand with Maurice Hampton right now?
So Maurice Hampton is another one of those dual sport athletes. I think he was listed in the 30s in MLB Pipeline's thing yesterday. But with Hampton, he's been committed to LSU for so long. He's visited LSU. He's visited Florida. He's visiting Auburn this weekend. But he's not signing until February. So Ole Miss really doesn't want to completely shoot their shot in terms of taking Matt Luke in on an in-home visit and in terms of bringing him in on an official until January. The current plan is for both Hampton and Ealy to visit the same weekend, which is the last weekend in January, and kind of to feed off of each other, and hopefully if Ealy does stick, that he ends up having an influence on Hampton. Hampton's going to play either corner or safety at the next level, but I would project him more of as a safety, but it seems like for Ole Miss, he's on the board as a corner. He jumped all the way also from a 3-star to into the top 250 at number 105, which is justifiable as well. I think that that they got quite a bit of the rankings in the North Mississippi and in Memphis area. They got them correct.
All right, one of those guys is Eric Gray, running back in Memphis. We've talked about him for a lot. I know as we taped this on Thursday, Ole Miss went in home.
Tuesday.
Been a lot of talk about something happening on that visit. So I guess what can you tell us about that visit, and where do things stand with Eric Gray right now?
Well, I'm gonna have to be careful to some level, but at the same time, there are certain coaches on the staff at Ole Miss who recruit that area. And they have a reputation, at least recently, for not doing it well, if not recently, for quite some time. And with that, he went in home. He doesn't go in home by himself on top targets for Ole Miss. So he wasn't alone. But the vibe that I got from the people that I did talk to, the reason that I couldn't comment as if I knew what was going on yesterday on the board, on the premium board at rebelgrove.com, was because I was having off-the-record conversations.
Sure.
And in the off-the-record conversations, the visit did not go well, to the point to where I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't show up for his official visit next or tomorrow. And that is something that Ole Miss can't afford. I mean, they had Snoop Connor, the Memphis running back, commit on campus last weekend for his official visit, and he knows the situation. He knows he's not going to just get a random green light to commit and to flip. And then they're also bringing in Keyshawn King, a running back from Florida, committed to Virginia Tech, who also just got his fourth star this weekend.
Yeah, I can tell you on Connor that Tulane is about to become a major player there.
Yeah,
it makes perfect sense. Will Hall's going to be the offensive coordinator at Tulane, and he was a big part of Connor's recruitment. And
he was the part of Connor's recruitment.
Yeah, and Tulane will be a major player on Connor. In fact, I'm not doing crystal balls and magic tricks and stuff, but that would be – I'd make them – I mean, I'm sure Ole Miss with an offer could alter that to some degree, but probably should hurry. A guy that was involved with multiple schools – I'm right on Broker being the Ohio kid, right?
Illinois kid, yes.
Okay. So what's the latest with Broker?
So Broker was a little bit surprised, like everybody else was. I mean – the surprise level wasn't as high as it would have been had Meyer stepped down last year at this time, but the news still came out, and he was pretty surprised. But what Ohio State did to try to compensate for that was they went ahead and sent their new head coach, Ryan Day, and the offensive line coach to his basketball game the same day of Day's opening press conference. And that obviously meant a lot to Broker, who is scheduled to take an official visit there, I believe it's Monday and Tuesday of next week, after he goes to Ole Miss this weekend. And Ole Miss is going to do everything they can, which I've said multiple times, to prevent him from taking that visit to Ohio State. And if he does take that visit to Ohio State, he's gone.
Okay.
You agree?
You know more about it than I do. If Ole Miss is begging the kid not to take the visit, and then he takes the visit, then yeah. If he has an offer, he has a committable offer to Ohio State?
100%. He's their top target on the O-line.
Yeah, I'd probably like their chances if he shows up in Columbus.
Yeah, I could agree with that. His rating became a little bit of a topic on the board yesterday. He is staying with a 5.5. I believe both Ohio State and Ole Miss project him as a tackle. Some rivals analysts believe he may be better off at guard. So we'll kind of see what happens with him in terms of projection.
So is he a guy that's a project, regardless whether it's Oxford or Columbus? I mean, he's a couple of years of development.
Yeah, I would agree with that statement. I think that Ole Miss was honestly a bit surprised, if not shocked, that he was the one that Ohio State went after out of all their commits, out of all the people that they were in on. I mean, Broker is a talented kid and a real athletic guy for his size, but he's not Darius Thomas. He's not Charles Cross. He's not Jeremy James, he's not Reese McIntyre, he's not any of those kids. And for Ohio State to get in on him out of all of them was a bit surprising.
Derek Call, his name has been in the kind of the rumor mill for the past 10 days or so, more than it had been for a while. What's the latest there?
It sounds like he was supposed to visit Mississippi State this weekend for his official. They're having their big weekend this weekend. And he canceled that visit and is instead going to Ole Miss this weekend. Now, with Derek, who has been supposed to visit Ole Miss several times, he's close to Nathan Pickering level of expected visits to Ole Miss, and that didn't happen. I'll believe that Hall is going to take an official visit when I see a picture of him on campus in Oxford. Hall also recently was really trending towards Auburn. Auburn's in their own bit of trouble right now. Florida State was in the picture for a while as well. Their on-field struggles have really hurt their recruiting efforts in the state of Mississippi. And then they took an official visit to Florida last weekend, Hall did. And Hall also, getting back to the 250 for just a second, was recently named into the 250, coming straight off of being a mid-level three-star. Hall projects as a designated pass rusher in the hypothetical Ole Miss defense, which, of course, still does not have a leader.
Yeah, we're going to get to that in a minute. In fact, we'll get to that now, because we'll come back to the list of some guys I want to touch on. We've touched on Connor. Actually, there's three left that we wanted to make sure we touched on, so let's get there. John Rhys Plumlee, what's the latest with him?
Yeah. John Rhys Plumlee almost single-handedly, well, him and Kevin Barnett beat Horn Lake in the 6A state title game last week in Hattiesburg. Plumlee is committed to Georgia at quarterback, and I've been hearing quite a bit of smoke about Ole Miss getting back in the mix there, and that possibly being one of those signing day morning surprises where you just see a picture of him from the Ole Miss football account having signed his letter of intent and sent it in. Plumlee is a early enrollee and an early signee, so things are going to have to escalate pretty quickly there. But I was told that he's been on campus so much in Oxford and that he treated one of his visits when he went to a baseball game in the spring almost like an official visit, to the point to where he wouldn't need to take that trip before potentially signing with Ole Miss. Georgia would be in a world of trouble if they were to lose him, because they're struggling to get a second quarterback. So if they were to lose their first quarterback, that'd be interesting.
What do you anticipate there? What's he going to do? Stick with Georgia?
It depends. It really depends on, number one, how Ole Miss starts to close between now and December 19th. And number two, what Georgia does at the quarterback position behind him. I mean, Plumlee's not a quarterback in the SEC, at least in my opinion. You know, Chad says he's an athlete and a quarterback. I think he's an athlete and not a quarterback. With Plumlee, it's number one, his size, his arm strength, some of those things, you know, hinder your ability to play quarterback, especially in the SEC when you're getting hit every Saturday by 6'3", 220 linebackers. But with Plumlee, you know, he has the athleticism. He can make plays as a slot receiver. He can make plays at DB. He can even make plays at safety. I mean, he makes an impact on the game to where it would be valuable for him to choose one of the in-state schools.
Keyshawn King
is the running back from Florida who just recently became a topic and a member of the big board that I put up. What was it? Last week was the first one, and I put up the most recent one a couple days ago. King recently became a four-star. He's been seeing Derek Nix quite a bit. And the thing with him is he doesn't respond very much to media. So it's been kind of hard to get a feel for what's going to happen. He's expected to visit this weekend officially. They haven't been able to get DJ Williams, the running back from Florida as well, who completely has blown up this offseason since his senior season ended. People watched his film. I think he's better than Eric Gray. I think he's the best running back on their board, not named Jerrion Ealy. He's going to Alabama this weekend, doesn't have an offer from them. And then next weekend's up in the air, and Ole Miss is going to push for that visit from him. But getting back to King, you know, after this weekend, we'll have a better feel for whether or not he's going to maybe flip his commitment or even just open things up in general. But he's another early signee, and possibly early enrollee, King is, to where, you know, these things are going to have to progress pretty quickly. And you're not going to be able to just get in on kids at this stage of the game who sign in December that are SEC caliber and expect them to sign. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like last year, what happened was they started missing, and instead of holding those spots in December, it seemed like they kind of just took a couple kids to take a couple kids. And Ole Miss can't afford to do that in the 2019 class, and sure as hell not in the 2020 class.
All right, one more guy before we start talking about this weekend coming up, Demonte Russell.
Demonte Russell received an in-home visit from head coach Matt Luke on Wednesday night. It was Luke and a couple other members of the staff, and Ole Miss feels good right now on that one. He visited Ole Miss officially last weekend, the Provine designated pass rusher who will likely play defensive end in college. He visited Ole Miss last weekend, and Ole Miss feels a lot better going out of that visit than they did going into it. He's taking his official visit to Mississippi State this weekend, and with that, that's where things kind of get a little bit hairy. Official visits to the school you're committed to after having a very positive official visit at a school trying to flip you, that's where things can change very quickly.
So you've cut out the lattes, you've put in those Curly Q light bulbs and brown bagged your lunch to work, but it still feels like payday keeps getting here a day or two late and a few $100 short. So try this. Give State Farm agent Wally Morgan a call and tell him you'd like a free discount double check. It's a line-by-line review of your car insurance policy to make sure you're getting the discounts you deserve, like 10% for being a good driver, another 10% if your teenage driver happens to be a good student, and 17% for simply combining your home and car policies. Add all those State Farm discounts up, and it's pretty easy to see how you could be saving hundreds of dollars a year. So get started today by giving State Farm agent Wally Morgan in New Albany, Mississippi a call, 662-539-7000. 7062 because being there to help keep more of your money in your pocket is why he's here. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Discounts may vary from state to state. Okay, the weekend's coming up. I know these things are kind of all over the place. 12 to 15 or so official visitors expected. Most of those, or at least more than half of those, already committed. You already touched on Eric Gray and whether or not he shows up. So what's kind of your thoughts on the weekend going in? How critical of a weekend is this for Ole Miss?
I would say it's critical to get the commits on campus with Eric Gray and with Keyshawn King, the running backs we just talked about, and as well as being able to get recent wide receiver offer D'Ontario Drummond from East Mississippi to pull the trigger on a commitment. You can't hold that out much longer. They had parted ways with Javonte Payton from Northwest, and when they did that, they made sure that they knew that they were going to get either a post-grad option, which would have been Jonathan Nance, who committed to Missouri.
Yeah.
And then it was D'Ontario Drummond was the other option, who is the wide receiver from East Mississippi who just won the national championship last week. They went and saw Drummond. Tyler Siski, who's currently on the road, went and saw Drummond in the NJCAA national championship game and came away really impressed, it seems, like, because, I mean, he left with an offer. Drummond, he made sure that Drummond knew he had an Ole Miss offer before he left Kansas. And Drummond's coming this weekend. Drummond's a Laurel native, and you could very easily see him pulling the trigger this weekend. And I think that is arguably the number one goal for Ole Miss this weekend on their official visits. Either between that, getting Ashanti Seastrunk on campus again after him having some contact with some Mississippi State coaches after his state title game last week. And then, like you talked about and we've talked about already at nauseam, Eric Gray.
As we tape this, there's no resolution at the defensive coordinator. To my knowledge, as we tape this, Pete Golding hasn't said no, but he certainly hasn't said yes. And as we tape this, Mike McIntyre's expected in today, on Thursday. How critical is it, in your opinion, from talking to recruits and such, how critical is it that an offensive coordinator is in place soon? Meaning?
You mean defensive coordinator?
I meant defensive coordinator. Yeah. Well, that was a Freudian slip. A defensive coordinator in place by Monday.
I think it's critical. I think it's critical, number one. I mean, you can be okay. You can survive another official visit weekend without having a defensive coordinator at least set in stone. But to go into N'Kobe Dean's house the day before he goes to Montgomery for the Missouri game and to not have a defensive coordinator for your last visit when you're bringing Matt Luke in, that's going to be detrimental and at least create more questions. N'Kobe Dean had questions for Ole Miss when he was on campus last weekend, and I have a feeling he would have more questions if they were to go in his house on Monday and them not have a defensive coordinator in there with him. You agree?
Yeah, I think it's important to be able to answer every question.
Yeah, and then also, you know, everybody knows that there's expected to be staff changes after the early signing day. And a lot of these coaches are starting to get those questions in home visits and in like talking to high school coaches, and they're answering them the way, you know, they're taught to, but at the same time,
which is what,
you know, just kind of bounce it off the wall and deflect as much as they can. Coaches are very good at not answering questions, but answering questions.
Sure. Did you really not know who Garth Brooks was?
No, I did not.
How?
I learned pretty quickly that Jake was not pleased with me. Jake Thompson was not pleased.
I'm not even a country music person at all. And like, if you said to me country music, that would be one of the first three names I'd say.
See, I would say Rascal Flatts, Dixie Chicks, and Toby Keith, Tim McGraw, something like that.
No, that's all good. That's what's amazing to me is that you know who Rascal Flatts is and who Tim McGraw is, but you don't know who Garth Brooks is. That mind-blowing to me.
Rascal Flatts is from Ohio.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, good for them. I'm going through these real quick. I'm not about to touch all of these. I'm just touching on a few. Let's see. That was a good pod. Zion Logue. What chances Ole Miss gets Logue, Turnage, and Handy?
The number one out of those three would be Turnage. Number two would be Handy, and number three would be Logue. Logue reaffirmed his commitment to Georgia, at least to them, earlier this week when they went in home. I'm not sure if they read my story or what, but that was their first stop on Monday morning was Lebanon High School in Tennessee to see Zion Logue. And because Logue was not too pleased that he didn't hear from Georgia. Georgia didn't go see him, but they went and saw N'Kobe Dean last week during the SEC championship preparation. But like I said, they went and saw him, and all offenses seemed to be mended there. Trey Scott did what Trey Scott does.
Who's the tight end that's going to end up on this class?
I don't think there is one. Which is a little bit worrisome, especially with Dawson Knox's name being floated around so much in draft circles.
What would you get better odds? N'Kobe Dean to Ole Miss or Bryce Harper to the Cubs?
Bryce Harper to the Cubs.
Wow. So you do not expect N'Kobe Dean to sign with Ole Miss?
I still don't. No, they are optimistic, and they have reason to be optimistic. But when it comes to, number one, a five-star linebacker now, not just a four-star linebacker, which they've signed four-star linebackers in the past. When was the last time Ole Miss signed a five-star linebacker? Has it ever happened?
C.J. Johnson, although he was more of a defensive end type player, but he was the last one that I can think of off the top of my head. Yeah, I can't. He's the last one I can think of. Yeah. And if I'm missing somebody obvious, my apologies. Last five-star linebacker Ole Miss signed. Yeah, I think it's C.J.
Patrick Willis wasn't a five-star?
No, he was a three-star.
Okay.
But he was long before C.J.
Okay.
He's played in the NFL and retired and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he but yeah, with that being said, you know, I'll kind of believe it when I see it. They can have all the momentum and they want with Dean and his family and everything around him. But until he calls Nick Saban and tells him no himself, I don't believe it's going to happen.
Would Pete Golding change that?
Yes.
Dramatically?
Yes.
What impact would Mike McIntyre's hiring have? I mean, to NFL background, been a head coach. Does that have enough star power to change anything, or is it just a solid hire?
It's a solid hire, and the fact that he was a head coach who created national headlines a couple years ago, winning Pac-12 Coach of the Year, and the impact that he had there, and his, I wouldn't say relationships, but the pipelines that he built in California and Texas while at Colorado, those were big, and he created relationships there, especially in the state of Texas, that Ole Miss would need and be able to use very well.
Is there a connection between Zion Logue staying with Georgia and what happens with Bill Norton, and could he open up?
I would say that both of their recruitments are pretty tied into IMG defensive end and Georgia commit Nolan Smith and what happens there. Nolan's been rumored to be flipping to Alabama for quite some time, but the flip hasn't happened. As you know, I've noticed the past couple weeks, there hasn't been too much news. There's a lot of rumors going around everywhere, nationwide, and there's a lot of expected things to take place. But it's different. There's a big difference between having expectations and something supposed to happen and it actually happening. And for Ole Miss, I think they've kind of got caught up in that because they've been expected to flip so many kids. I was one that thought Charles Cross was going to commit over the weekend when he was on his official visit. But these things aren't taking place, and that's where you kind of try to figure out maybe they're holding them all off for at one time or if they're just waiting for the early signing period.
Last thing. Your friend of mine, Tyler Siski, do you think all of the tweets are him trying to subconsciously say something, or do you think he's just having some fun, or do you think he's trying to generate the perception of momentum?
I think it would actually have to be a combination of all three. There are some instances in some of his tweets where those are directly correlated to. I don't discuss silent commitments, but
sure.
that's what they're entailing.
A kid says, "Coach, I'm coming. I don't want to announce it, but I'm coming."
Yes, that's what a lot of those tweets are. And then when he got put on the road after McGriff was dismissed, he had that one that everybody loved, where he was. The guy was, I think, changing his clothes, and people thought somebody flipped, but it was just really he was on the road, and he was excited to be on the road. And I think the one he did a couple of days ago was more along those lines as well.
Okay. All right, we'll stop there. I know it's an abbreviated edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast, but there's no reason to continue. We'll do one early next week off the official visits, and with what I presume will either be at that point news on a defensive coordinator or a total meltdown regarding the lack thereof. So for Russell Johnson, I'm Neil McCready. That does it for the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Dead Soxie. Don't forget, enter promo code Rebel Grove at checkout for 35% off here for your stocking stuffer solution. For Russell, I'm Neil. That does it. We'll talk to you next week. Take care.